Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sport administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
All right, thanks, Colleen. This week we talk some track and field. Before I introduce my next guest, as usual, I want to use this opportunity to ask everyone out there to be safe during this COVID-19 pandemic. Remember to follow the guidelines of your health authorities as we go through what is considered the most difficult crisis in our lifetime. And thanks to all of our healthcare professionals on the front line protecting and caring for us. This, of course, is our 24th episode, and as always, we're super happy for all the feedback so far. Thanks to everyone who has made this such a success. So in this episode, we focus on the impact of, well, I call it COVID-19, but it's really the impact of the shutdown and postponement of track and field. And I have renowned track and field coaches Julian Robinson and David Riley to discuss. David is coach of Excelsior High School and also Exed Community College track and field team, as well as he has been a national coach for Jamaica several times. Julian also has been a national coach and is coach at Calabar High School and at UA Mona. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dalton.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before I start, before we came on here, I started a discussion, but I want to wish you and your family that everything will be okay and that you guys are doing well during this time. I have never seen this in my lifetime. And you probably are more experienced to deal with these things than I am. Well, so let me start out, David. The IOC, the government, Japan government, have postponed the Tokyo 2020 to next year. Mm-hmm. Let me just have your initial reaction to that.
I actually want to help a person to understand that that is in no way an easy decision. The Olympics is a major competition across multiple sports, pulling a lot of resources and individuals together. It requires a lot of planning, which is why the IOC usually awarded 6 to 8 years ahead of the date, because there's a lot of things that need to be done. And it's not trivial to just postpone or cancel an Olympics because of the investments that have to be made in developing the venues and so on, and just the logistics required to put on such a major international competition. And so I think persons who were really asking for a postponement initially or a cancellation really just doesn't understand. They don't understand the ramifications of that. And so I want to just empathize with the IOC for being in a situation where they actually had to wait until the last minute practically to make a decision. And they have clearly struggled in making a decision. And I think because of that the evidence of that struggle, I am willing to support the decision that they've made because it clearly was not an easy decision.
Yeah, Julian, your initial thoughts when you heard about this postponement?
Well, I was happy. I was happy because, one, very early out, our training facilities were closed, yet other persons were training. And I did not think that my athletes were going to be in any shape to compete at the Olympics. And also, yeah, that's it. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, they had to do that because some persons were able to train while others were not able to train. And it was an unfair situation as far as I can see. So I think they did the best thing. And just at the risk of getting ahead of ourselves, I don't even know that 2021 will go ahead based on what is happening, because based on what I have heard, I don't know that this pandemic will pass by then. I'm not hearing anything about a vaccination that is close to market. So, interesting days ahead.
Yeah, well, Julie, let me just follow up on that, though. Certainly the facilities. Most of the facilities that we know of, certainly in Jamaica, are now closed. I think probably 100% in terms of good facilities. How are your athletes coping with this? How are they surviving? Because as far as I know, athletes need to still keep working out.
Well, you know, David and Dalton, you know, this might surprise, you know, but I kind of see this as a blessing in disguise, you know, because it has given some of my athletes a chance to heal.
Right.
And so for reasons beyond my control, I have had to scale back training. So most of what my guys are doing are some low impact stuff like Pilates, push-ups, right? We're not training. Some people, for example, Dacres, he has a bar that he can do some type of training, but everyone has is experiencing a significant reduction in the training volume.
David, like Julian, you guys depend a lot for the athletes in terms of muscle memory. How much do you think they will be losing during this time?
Well, I don't necessarily focus on muscle memory, but the overall development of the athlete in order to perform at the highest level requires some of the other fitness components to be developed. And, you know, there are some of them that, you know, need some supervision in terms of the development, but there are several that the athlete can do on their own. I think the opportunity allows for some of the things that were being neglected to be worked on in a, as Julian said, a low impact environment, more concentrated on that particular thing, you know, the core strength. And one of the athletes said to me that he didn't realize that he had a muscle right there. You know, just because they're doing some activities that they wouldn't normally do. And so they're feeling pain in certain places and they never feel any ache or any pain. And it's not even like high intensity or anything. It's just an exercise that you had done in a while. So you know, when you think about the opportunity to maybe develop some of the stabilizing muscles and allow the athlete to learn some, you know, some balancing exercises and things like that. Some of the smaller things that we would have maybe not had enough repetitions of in the normal training program. I think some of those are being developed. And then my challenge really is to get the athlete to reduce their intake, you know, just to make sure that they don't put on a lot of weight and, you know, that gets out of control. And then you end up with a situation where you have to be battling a weight issue, which brings other things into factor. So helping them during this time to maintain some level of fitness, engage them nonetheless, and allow them to have a lower impact and move forward from there.
Julian, you coach Frederick Dacres, well, several athletes, but last year, talking about the 2019 season, Frederick had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Financially, I would hope that it was a good one also. This year now, we're talking about almost no Diamond League, almost no track and field. How difficult do you think that this will be for him, and how do you keep him motivated knowing that it could be a very challenging year?
Well, I would think the postponement or cancellation of the season is difficult for all track and field athletes financially. In fact, based on what I'm seeing, all major sports are suffering.
Yeah.
from the cancellation of the season or the postponement of the season. It is difficult, and it is difficult because most non-sprinting athletes earn most of their money from competing appearance fees. So financially, it is difficult for my athletes, not just Frederick, but for Travis and as I said, for most track and field athletes, everybody, because a significant amount of money is earned from competing, and that is not there. And it may not be there for a year or two. So it is rough, and I hope that the authorities can find some way to help the athletes, you know. I also want to say that, you know, I have observed, this is my opinion, but when I look at what is happening in Jamaica, many persons don't appreciate that track and field athletes are professionals and that they are impacted by what is happening, you know. You know, when I look at how quickly the facilities were closed, you know, and the facilities needed to have been closed, you know, because the coronavirus or COVID-19 is a dangerous thing. But before the facilities were closed, the Olympics, the postponement or cancellation of the 2020 Olympics had not been announced. So we were doing our very best to prepare for it. It was difficult, and many persons were, based on what I observed, were a little bit insensitive and uncaring about the plight of track and field athletes. So we are affected financially.
I agree with you there, David. I don't know if you want to pick up on that point in terms of the facilities and closing down the facilities at a heartbeat. I mean, it was so quick, and the athletes had to still be trying to find ways to train preparing for the major games, because at that point they were still on.
But Dalton and David, let me also say this. You know, I always say this, you know. I always make the following comment. Jackass at the world level, right? Even now, there are some athletes in the world who are still able to train. Even now. Now, I am not envious of them, you know, right? But I can't help but marvel at how I don't want to say unfair, but, you know, some people just have it hard, you know, because most of my athletes are not able. We don't even have a home gym. Elsewhere in the world, athletes have home gym and a significant amount of equipment that they can continue to train. They live on acres of land that they can continue to do long throws. You know, and that's a boy, you know. But such is life, you know, such is life. But such is life.
Yeah, I think part of the issue has to do with how the risk, you know, is managed. And some persons have a different assessment of the risk than others. It's subjective, and different individuals will be comfortable with different levels of risk. And so there could be some kind of tier system where persons would be allowed, based on understanding what they have to do in terms of their profession. You know, we've shut down the country, but pretty much you've not shut it down for everybody. You've shut it down for people, you know, everybody who's essential service still is able to move about. But if you think of essential service only in terms of medical, and that's the only category that you want to allow, but then you don't consider the sports person who, especially at the elite level, where there could be controls put in place to allow for the individual to continue to be engaged, knowing the potential loss and the possibility of being unable to recover from those losses, then you would realize that there are far more persons that you need to be considering rather than just the narrow band that you have created, which, and I'm being very careful in saying this because I don't want people to think that I am really throwing stones at the political directorate or the persons who are charged with making decisions. And, you know, it's not an easy decision, but I've actually been involved in making decisions that impact people. And you have to balance the risks and you have to balance the concerns so that you end up with more wins than you end up with losses, especially when you deal with people's lives and careers.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I would like to, I just want to add to what David is saying, you know. I'm not saying that Jamaica should have done this. But again, you know, when I look at it, I just have to shake my head at how life is. Do you guys know that in the midst of the COVID-19 problem or outbreak in China, there were some Chinese elite athletes who were still in training?
Yes, about 300 of them.
Well,
can you believe that? No.
You may be surprised to know that even in the States, there are still athletes who are able to train.
Yes. I'm not saying that Jamaica should do that, you know, but, you know, I, as a coach with athletes, athletes who are going to lose fitness, athletes whose performance level might not be where it is supposed to be when the season resumes, I can't help but shake my head, you know, and just marvel at how life is, you know. Obviously, Jamaica doesn't have the resources that China, but dear God, man, he does have a shaky head and marvel. Because, you know, David implied it earlier, but this shutdown of facility is going to cause many athletes to lose fitness, you know. And there is no guarantee that when the season resumes, the athlete will be in the shape that the athlete needs to be in, you know. And I'm not blaming anybody, you know. But such is the situation.
It's a fact.
And the other thing is that track and field, you know, is a performance-driven business.
Mm-hmm.
So when the season starts up back, if the athlete is not in the shape that the athlete is supposed to be, the athlete is going to lose out financially, and may even lose their contract if they have a contract, you know? And, you know, it's just life, you know, it's just life. But, you know, it's life.
Well, I wish I were like the Wimbledon organizers, you know. You know, Wimbledon had a pandemic insurance.
In terms of?
We're walking away with $141 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get that one next year.
We should have put aside some money for the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask a question then. I guess then it would be fair enough that the World Athletics has suspended, you know, rankings and qualifications until December then, or until they think most countries can get to train fairly and equally.
Again, Dalton, all right. I am happy that they did that, but as I said, some persons are still in training, you know, and are training like normal. Not every country in the world is experiencing the shutdown that we have in Jamaica and that we see, for example, in Italy, right? Some people are still in training. Some people are not. Some people are still in training. Some people are still competing, you know, so... Yeah, it's good that the World Athletics, it is good that they have suspended the ranking system, but some people are competing, and when the season resumes, they are going to be in a much better shape than those who are not training.
Yeah, David, you wanted to jump in on that.
Yeah, I also wanted to point out from the standpoint of the coach and basically what we've learned or what we know in terms of the preparation and the cycling of athletes in terms of the training program. And you get to a point like this where everything kind of just shut down, and then there is this waiting period, and then you don't know what to do. And there's no chapter in the manual that tells you what to do in a situation like this. So there's a lot of learning and experimenting that will take place between now and the resumption in order to kind of get those fitness components developed again so that the athlete can be at a particular level that, you know, we'll see them be able to compete, especially with those persons who are still in training. And so it's going to be very tricky how things progress in the next couple of months. It's going to be interesting.
I don't know which one of you want to take this question, but I know we started this discussion off here. We've been talking about the seniors, but certainly the juniors are going through something that they never expected. Gentlemen, you both coach in the high school, the secondary high school system. How do you keep those guys motivated?
Well, I think one of the problems is that a lot of times people tend to think that youngsters can understand complex issues the way adults do. And that because you understand it as an adult, then you expect everybody else to understand it as well. And teenagers, people who are developing, tend to have a lot more emotional connection to things than adults do. Adults are complicated. We've been through so many things. We've lost, we've won, we've been battered, we kind of almost processed. So when disappointments are handled differently with teenagers, in a sense that even the way in which the whole cancellation of the season took place or was carried out, you didn't really get a chance to even have a conversation with the athletes. So you, in terms of your damage control and helping people to understand that, oh, you know, all the 7 months that you put in aren't really a waste of your time. It really wasn't a waste of your time. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain to a teenager or even a junior that it's not a complete waste. And that is something that I think there's a high risk in us having some attrition from the sport or from sports in general because of the fact that we weren't able to properly manage that process and for persons to think that they weren't unfairly treated by an important concern. So it's a very tricky situation for the juniors.
Yeah, Julian.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to add to what David was saying again. He's right. A lot of persons think that that the juniors are able to process things like most adults, you know. But sometimes they can be irrational, you know, and anxious. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm coaching youngsters who were in their last year, and they were not great athletes, but they were hoping to get a scholarship, right? And for example, I remember saying to one of them, you know, don't worry yourself, man, you know, you may have to leave in January, you know, because everything is closed down now in the States and here, so there's nothing that is happening. And for me, that is clear, but for the youngster, he could not appreciate that. Don't worry. You know, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening. The understanding that I got from it, he didn't get it, and he's still anxious. And I'm saying, don't worry yourself. Nothing is happening. No coach is talking to any athlete. The NCAA has stopped communication. Nothing is happening. Relax.
Yeah.
You know, but the youngster is still anxious because, you know, he wants to have his contract in his hand that he has somewhere to go. But everything is shut down until further down in the year. That is the situation. So youngsters, many of them are not processing it in a mature and relaxed way. So David is right. We sometimes overestimate the youngster.
Yeah, I think you know, and I just want to make a point here. You're talking about the youngsters, and I know an athlete, probably about 2021, and he's been asking me about his visa to go overseas because he's supposed to go overseas to train. You know, and I'm explaining to him literally, the embassy are closed. There's no flight leaving Jamaica. And I had to give a full breakdown for the athlete just to appreciate what I was saying. And, you know, I think the athlete still left the conversation saying, well, you know what?
You're not trying
I'll
hard enough.
Ask him again in the next few weeks.
Right.
He or she doesn't understand what shutdown is.
Walton, you're just not doing your job.
Yeah, I'm not doing my job. Yeah. It's almost like you almost fire me. Like, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I mean, to survive in these COVID-19 restrictions, you have to be mature and you have to have foresight. And yeah, that's it. You know, many persons are anxious, seniors and juniors. For me in this period, I have found ways to relax, and I am relaxing. I'm relaxing and I am seeing things clearly. I'm seeing the pros and I'm seeing the cons.
Well, I'm relaxing so much that I now discovered that I had so many fruit trees in my backyard. Making use of those. Gentlemen, let me just ask you a few more questions as we kind of move forward with this one. With the juniors, do you spend time talking with them? No, you know, as they try to navigate their way through what is a period that they've never experienced before. And you both are coaches who athletes look up to as mentors, as fathers. You know, how do you deal with that part of it?
Well, one of the things I try to do is to keep them engaged. Keep them engaged in some of the other aspects of what it means to be a teenager. I mean, you're a student athlete.
Yeah.
So now we can't do much of the athletic stuff, but you know, let's kind of get some of the student stuff going and you know, just imagine that your off season has been brought forward a little earlier than normal. I mean, but you just kind of just make sure you get the other aspects correct and we'll resume as soon as it is possible. So you kind of get that conversation with them so that they can realize that there are other things that they must put some attention to that are just as important in terms of, you know, what their future opportunities will present. So you want to make sure you get that conversation with them as well.
Well, for me, I as I said earlier, I have reduced the training volume, but training is still going on. Some youngsters are fortunate enough to do events that they can still train for in their backyards, you know. So I still write programs, and I still review. They video themselves, they send it to me, and I review and give them feedback. And I send them a training plan. You know, the training plan for the most part doesn't include lifting weights, but it includes resistance bands, push-ups. So I have adjusted my program. And most of my athletes are doing some work, whether it's shadow drill or body circuits. You know, they're still in training. I keep them abreast of what is happening in the NCAA, what is happening in terms of the professional. And I have discussion, I have a WhatsApp group, and we have discussion about what is happening and the future. So for the most part, they have information and they're training. Yeah.
You know, it hit me today when NACAC put out a release that CARIFTA has finally been cancelled, which I figure more or less we knew this. It kind of hit me that the youngsters, I mean, the seniors have a lot, but the youngsters, certainly in Jamaica Track and Field, would have been missing out from champs, pen relays, CARIFTA, and some under 20 championships. All events that at the beginning of the season they may have been looking forward to as part of their just overall development and successes.
Some youngsters may never get a chance to make the CARIFTA team.
Yeah.
You know? It's life, you know, David and Dalton, it's life. This is something that we as mentors have to try and explain to these youngsters over and over. So I'm not, as I said earlier, they're not appreciating it, but this is a learning lesson for them.
Yeah.
You know, life is like this sometimes. You know, sometimes these things happen and you have to learn to deal with them and move on with your life. You know, it happens to youngsters and it happens to adults. It's life.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, so moving forward though, moving forward, the J3A boss has indicated in a saw in the Gleaner newspaper in Jamaica that he's looking forward to having the track and field championships in, I think, August. Any of you think this is realistic or should we even bother thinking about a championship and for what purpose?
Well, the purpose of national championships is to determine national champions in different events. So that purpose was to maintain or remain. It's just that sometimes those national champions end up getting selected to represent the country in an international competition. Which competitions those are going to be, we don't know. But I think it is at least giving some persons the opportunity to compete. You're not going to get the same level of participation that we would get. But I mean, I think the fans would want to see some competition. People want to get out. I mean, if we get out and we can move about, what are we going to do? So having a track and field competition where people can go to, I don't see any problem with that. I actually don't. It would be part of the recovery if we've, you know, pass through the worst of the situation, and that would give people something to do.
Well, I mean, it's always good to plan. So the president announcing that the meet is still on is good. However, based on what I am seeing in the world, you know, and I defer to him because he's a medical doctor, but based on what I'm seeing in the world and how difficult it is to flatten the curve, I don't even know that the season, I don't expect the season to resume in Jamaica, and I don't expect the Diamond League and Continental Cup to resume or to start based on what I am seeing, you know. So it's good for him to make mention of it, but right now athletes are not in training and there's no, I'm not hearing any idea locally when the facilities are going to be open for training to start. So it's good that he's talking about the national championship, but before I can bring my mind there, and most athletes can bring their mind there to compete in a national championship, we have to hear about the facilities opening, and I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, one of the things I want to mention, we talk about what the norm would be after this. You know, maybe one of the norms is that we'll always have to deal with COVID-19. You know, we might just like how you have the flus and people have the flu every season. One of the realities going forward might be we just have to always have to deal with this particular issue. We'll probably learn how to manage it, but I don't think we're going to get to the point where it's totally eradicated and we don't have any cases of it. I think we're going to have to get to a point where, because we've learned so much, we know so much about it, we would operate within some bounds so that things can get back to some normalcy.
On a positive note, gentlemen, so the next 5 years or 4 to 5 years going to be really interesting for track and field, certainly. At the senior level, we have 2021, the Olympics, all things being well. And also for the juniors, there's the Commonwealth Youth Games in Trinidad in 2021. 2022, it's Oregon World Championships, as well as the Senior Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. 23 is another World Championship in Hungary. 24 is the Olympics in Paris, and then 25 is another World Championship. So it's something to look forward to then.
Hectic.
Coming out of this, we're probably having more track and field than we bargained for.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. But I mean, we would have had just one kind of down year from it. So just, right. But otherwise, typical menu served, a little bit more spice this time around. And, you know, that should be an interesting experience for both spectators as well as for athletes and coaches.
Julian, the JO president, Chris Samuda, had mentioned that had recommended that athletes try not to, and I'm using my own words here, pick and choose when it comes to 2022. That's the World Championships in July and the Commonwealth Games July to August. The Trinidad and Tobago Olympic Committee president said, well, that may not be the case because athletes may choose to go to what is more enticing. What's without commenting on either of you, what's your take on that? Is it easier for, say, the distance guy, the throwing throws versus the sprinters, or do you think athletes will try to go to whichever will make more financial sense?
Well, the professional athletes definitely are going to try and go to the World Championships because, you know, it takes cash to care. Unlike the World Championships, the Commonwealth Games don't offer prize money. So, and coming out of 2020, where there was no meet, you know, it seems to me that most professional persons are going to try and go to the World Championships. I could see the tier below the professional athletes now aiming for the Commonwealth Games. Are those professional athletes who are not able to make the World Championship team going to the Commonwealth? So natural selection, natural selection is the right thing, but I could see the professional athletes leaning towards the World Championship and those who are not able to make the World Championship team going to the Commonwealth Games.
I kind of see it a different way, in the sense that the athlete may very well be in their peak performance for the World Championships. They go out, they get a medal, they earn some money, and 2 weeks later they just show up at the Commonwealth Games to go for a title. I don't see any
problems with
them. Not really. I mean, track and field is at the end of the Commonwealth Games, so they still have 2 weeks.
Track and field.
So depending on your event. Right. So depending on your event, even in the World Championship, you might have an early competition for Oregon, and then you can leave and go to the Commonwealth Games and compete 2 weeks later.
You may have 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it's not like the same day, you know. So I think athletes can earn some money as well as win a title, the Commonwealth Games title. And titles and these championships actually do affect their bonuses anyway. So, you know, what that one would think that would be an option for them. But, you know, the Europeans have it tough, especially people in the UK.
Yeah, because of the European Championship, right?
Yeah, well...
The European Championship is right after that too, so...
Well, if there's some financial reward, then the athletes are going to go. But coming out of 2020, and are there going to be any continental cup meets in that period?
No, I think the only thing is the European Championship, I think, is right after.
And they're going to be meets after?
Because they haven't done the Diamond League schedule for 2022 yet. But I suppose you'll have, like, you know, a few that usually fall late August into September, leading up to the Diamond League finals.
Yeah,
so
well,
they may have a few after.
Okay. So the Commonwealth Games, if there are going to be Continental Cup and Diamond League meets after the Commonwealth Games, then athletes, I could see athletes going to Commonwealth Games.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because it you can use it to prepare for other meets. It's a competitive meet, but, you know, most professional athletes, they need money. I remember saying that to Dalton at in Australia. You know, I was saying to him that, yeah, I said, boy, the Commonwealth Games are nice meeting, but, you know, it's a track and field. Track, it's very important for track and field to provide as many ways as possible to make the professional athlete make money. Very important, you know. Not everybody, track and field athletes generally earn from competing. And, you know, these people are professionals and they have expenses. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, just in case there are any young coaches coming out of GC, this is their first year or second year in coaching. What advice could you give to them? Because you both are, I wouldn't consider young coaches anymore. You have a few more gray hairs than you had 10 years ago. So what advice would you give to that young coach in this time who is facing something like this for the first time? How can he keep his athletes motivated? What would you tell that young coach?
Well, I would tell a young coach to research, use the opportunity to learn more about his or her event, and have a mind to improvise. You know, even though the facilities are closed, there are still things that you can do in this period to improve the athlete. Earlier, David spoke about stability and improving the core strength of the athlete. And the core strength is important in generating strength and power for track and field athletes. So I'd recommend to the young coach to use the opportunity to learn more, read, and increase his or her knowledge in their event.
Okay. David?
Yeah, I'd also suggest that, you know, what you know, your knowledge base is important and it's good. But be more concerned with the things that you don't know, and decide that you're going to be a student and remain a student. And the better you get, the more you learn, is the better your athletes get. A lot of times, coaches tend to be caught up with what they know, and they just stick to what they know, as opposed to really be a student and continue to learn. And so, you know, you minimize the chance of you being left behind. And then the second thing that I caution them is that don't always think that new is better. New just means new. And you approach new the same way you approach current, you know, to say, let's test it. Let's record and document so that I can make an evaluation after. But a lot of times people just want to do all kind of new stuff without really assessing how, you know, the impact of that. So those are the two things that I'd say to the new coach.
David, I couldn't allow you to leave without asking you. When the ministry or the government announced in Jamaica that there'll be no boys and girls athletic championship, you surmised that decision could have been a different one. I think you had suggested probably they should have done a postponement as opposed to a cancellation. And you had sent a proposal to to the powers that be. Knowing what you know now, do you still hold that position? Do you think it probably was just the right decision to cancel it? And what would be your suggestion to ISSA, et cetera, if a situation like this should recur?
I still hold my position that it's something that could have been postponed. You know, one of the things that we are still not yet able to determine is if the whole situation is properly managed, right? We're still in the middle of it. And at the end of this, hopefully, when the assessments are done, we'll be able to see what could have been done differently. I still think that after this, we're going to have to deal with COVID-19 for a very long time. And we're going to have to learn how to operate in an environment where this is a threat, and not just this, but maybe other viral illnesses are threats, the same way we've been dealing with influenza. And so I think that we still are yet to be at a place where we can assess to see whether the correct decision was made. I think that there are options which the powers that be could have explored, and it might even be possible that the champs could have been held earlier because the cases were so low. So I don't know. I'm just watching the situation and see what obtains.
Julian, I don't know if you wanted to weigh in that one, if you supported that view, or if you think it was just a good decision to cancel.
Boy, I defer to the professionals. I'm not a medical doctor. The professionals, both here and abroad, believe that it is the best thing for the society. Yeah, I go along with it. It's definitely sad for the final year athletes who were not in a good position to get a scholarship.
Right.
But such is life.
Yeah. On that note, gentlemen, I just want to say thank you very much. I did promise you not to keep you too long, so I appreciate you being here with me. I want to wish you, as always, all the best to you and your family, and just stay inside and stay safe.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, man.
Take care. So that was Julian Robinson and David Riley. Really appreciate having them on the podcast. Thank you again, gentlemen. So on behalf of the production team, Rashika, Marsha, thanks for joining us on this episode of The Driver Phase. Remember always to check out our website. It's thedrivephase.com. Make sure to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcast. And listen, on Apple Podcast, we'd really appreciate a rating. Or on Google Podcast or Stitcher or whichever podcast directory that you may use. So you'll never miss an episode. Go tell a friend about the show so they too can spread the word. Feel free to send feedback, comments, questions to thedrivephase@gmail.com, or look us up on Twitter and Facebook at thedrivephase. You can use the hashtag TDP. Until next time, see you then.